Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. And then our main passage this morning is Matthew 7, 24 through 29. But we'll begin with Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Amen. From time to time, I like to give a little bit of backstory to a message, and I'll try to keep it brief. But this topic that we're talking about today has been on my heart and mind, and has been something that God has been leading me to speak with our youth and with other people in just casual conversation for months now. And it's something that's real to us in a very real way, as you've seen. I see a lot of Christians living lives that look almost as lost as those who don't know Christ. Full of ups and downs and defeat. Beloved, that's not what God wants for us. He came to give us life and life abundant. Victory. Victory untarnished by our circumstance. And that's what I want to talk about today. So Matthew 7, verse 24 through 29. I'm going to read verse 24 again. It says, everyone then... The Greek, instead of saying then, says therefore. Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. As I've mentioned before, it's always important to look at the therefores in Scripture. The speaker or author is capping off a point or reaching a conclusion to explain what came before. That's what the therefore is there for. Jesus here is finishing the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 28 and 29 say, When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So we know that Jesus is wrapping it up. And this is what he chooses to say, this parable. It's as if Jesus is saying after the Sermon on the Mount, so in conclusion, after you've heard all this, let me explain something to you. Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine, you've listened to me preach the best sermon that's ever been preached, the Sermon on the Mount, or ever will be preached. You've listened to me. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus is using houses as an object lesson. Jesus, the son of a carpenter, he knows how houses are built. No doubt he had been involved in the building of houses. He's using houses to talk about life and faith. and how the two, life and faith, are inseparable. Beloved, all of us are building a house. We are all building a life. So we build this house of life. We build them of hopes and dreams and desires. We build them from friends and from popularity and position. We build our houses from family. We build our houses from ministry. We build our houses from education. We build our houses from career. We plan, we strive, we work for what? We don't ask that too often, do we? We plan, we strive, we work for what? We think planning, this is how twisted our mind has become by the world, all right? We think planning and building are praiseworthy and responsible and somehow admirable, regardless of what we're planning. They have something good in and of themselves. They're almost a mean to an end. As long as we look busy, we're accomplished. As long as we look wealthy, we've made it. As long as we got the house with the white picket fence and the, what is it, two dogs, two kids and a wife? Is that how it goes? We have arrived. We want to be a success. But who defines success? We want to be an influence, but where? What kind of influence? We got all these things that we think are so good and that don't come from Scripture. All these goals and dreams and hopes and desires and pressures, people telling us what is right, what is wrong, that have nothing to do with this. We want to be a good person, live a good life, be happy. Why? We strive and strive and work and work, and we don't even know why we are striving and working and stressing. What is it all for? We build these houses we call life, and the truth is that you can build a castle. A life full of luxury and power and influence. You can build a castle. Look at across the street, right? Your life can look like that to everyone who looks at you. And you can still have foundations made of sand. You can be stuck in the miry clay and not even know it until the storm comes. When the storm comes, nothing but rock will keep that house standing. I've spoken before of roller coaster Christians. We've all seen them. Christians whose lives are constant up and downs and highs and lows. Life is wonderful at one moment because of this or that circumstance. And an hour or a day or a week later, they are crushed because of another of life's circumstance. The world has a hold on them, and it dictates how they feel, how they believe, who they are. But let's not judge them too quickly, because they are us. We are all roller coaster Christians from time to time. We all build rooms of our house on sand. We let the world tell us what is important. We let the world tell us how we should think of ourselves, how we should think of others, how we should spend our money, how we should spend our time, what our goals should be. We let this world influence how we think of every matter. And now when Jesus was speaking to the crowd, they knew, and he knew, the kind of rock that he was referring to. You see, let me extrapolate a little bit on this passage. Jesus isn't speaking of a poured concrete foundation that can be shaped to fit the design of the builder. He is speaking of natural pre-existing rock upon which a structure can be securely built. Now, I'm no builder, but it seems to me that a house built on such a rock must have had to follow the specifications of that rock. As the house was designed and built, the rock itself dictated what could be built and where it could be built. The builders did not shape the rock to the house, they shaped the house to the rock. Jesus is the rock. The house that stands is built on His specifications. We do not custom order a rock to build upon. We do not form the rock to our own wishes, to our own comfort levels, to our own, now hear me on this, we do not form the rock to our own convictions. We do not form the rock to our own political affiliations or opinions. The rock forms us. We see roller coaster Christians, sometimes we are roller coaster Christians, and then we see those peculiar Christians. Christians who are far too uncommon. Christians who truly are alien. Do we grasp what that means? To be called an alien and stranger. To be not of this world. Is that what people think of us when they see us? Do they really think when they see you, when they know you, when they talk to you about all things that are going on in the world, do they think, that dude is weird? If they don't, they oughta. Let me just say, if they don't, they oughta. We are aliens and strangers in this world. Christians who are truly alien, who are strange, Christians who are set apart. Holy. That's what it means to be holy. Set apart for God. These Christians have lives that include just as much heartache as the rest of us, often much more. But you wouldn't know it to look at them. They struggle with illness, sorrow, loss, death. They struggle with persecution, and yet they are full of peace and joy. They own a strange joy even in the midst of sad times. They are wounded and they are hurt and they cry the same as everyone else. But in the end, none of that controls them. Nothing stops them. And nothing whatsoever shakes their foundation. These are the ones whose house, whose life, whose faith is built upon the rock. The rock Christ speaks of here is hearing His words and doing them. There is a simple truth here that many of us are missing. There's a simple truth here that we all miss from time to time. Our foundation is firm only when we hear and do the words of Christ. Many times we hear this message and the pastor will just leave us with the thought, Jesus is the rock. And you know it's absolutely true. Jesus is our rock. He's our foundation. He's our hiding place. He's our fortress. He's our strong tower. But Jesus is saying something here that we dare not miss. The one whose house is built on the rock is the one who hears and does. He's stating the fact that faith without change is not faith. Hearing without doing is worthless. James talks about that. Hearing without doing is shifting sand. And so many of us are missing out on the life abundant because we have yet to grasp this simple but difficult truth. It's not simply about hearing. It's about hearing, transforming our doing. Transforming us. Now, Please don't make the mistake of thinking this is talking about works-based salvation. It's not. The Bible does not contradict itself. This is talking about victory and defeat. We all know there are Christians who live victorious Christian lives, and there are Christians who do not. There are Christians who are set firm and Christians who are not. We must come to see Jesus as life itself. He is not simply the foundation and the cornerstone. He is the house. He is the beams. He is the nails. He is the roof. He is in it and through it all. We must come to the place where we no longer see our house, our life, as something that we want to build and that we are free to construct in any way we please. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus is speaking of as the house built upon the rock. It is those who hear and believe in him so much that only he dictates what they believe, what they think, and who they are. When we come to that place, we will find we are no longer on the shaky ground of opinion. When we come to that place, we will find ourselves finally on a firm foundation. Beloved, I long to see my own life come to a place where every thought, every opinion comes only from this. And where this has no opinion, I have no opinion. Because everything else is just miry clay and sand. I want to be, God wants us to be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Does life feel like miry clay or shifting sand? You believe in God, but are you constantly wondering what his will is for you? Where is his blessing for you? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. But is he your life? Is he the first thought in every plan? Is his glory your motivation? Is Christ in your every relationship? Is his glory the reason behind your church attendance? For many of us, what is missing in our faith, what is missing in our life, is not the hearing, but the hearing and doing. And we struggle, we wonder, we cry out to God, God, why am I struggling time after time and failing time after time? Why is my life like a roller coaster? Why do I feel like I'm on a stormy sea all the time? Beloved, that is not the will of God for you. We will all have mountains and valleys, but he does not want you to be controlled by the mountain and valley. He does not want your victory to depend on what you're going through in the moment. He has more for you than that. He wants you to be so connected to Jesus that you can rejoice in him in the moment of your deepest sorrow. And so connected to Jesus that the greatest joy pales when it comes into comparison with him. This is not something we get through just one moment of decision. This is a process that occurs in us in every moment. In the scheduling of our time, I've been meddling, but I'm going to meddle a little bit more. In the scheduling of our time, does our weekly schedule look like Jesus is Lord? That's an ouchie right there. Does our weekly schedule look like Jesus is Lord? Like God is God? Parents, are we showing our children that Jesus is Lord in what we involve them in? What we allow them to be involved in? What we put in their schedule? Are we showing that God is God? What we encourage them in, what we expect of them. What about in the midst of an argument at home with our spouse, with our parents, with our siblings? Is Jesus Lord at those moments? In the setting of goals and in the working towards them. In every important and sometimes not so important decisions, do we hear the words of Christ and put them to practice? That, beloved, is the solid ground. In those moments, though, we will discover that we are insufficient. We are not equal to the task of a life lived moment by moment in obedience to the words of Christ. We're just not. Alone, we are not able. But if we are in Christ, the one who lives in us is more than able. And he desires for us to let him live, love, work, serve, and even believe and think through us. Have you ever thought of that? Paul says we have the mind of Christ. That God wants to think through you. He wants to give you his thought on every matter, on every person, on every detail, on every situation, on every circumstance. He wants to give you his thoughts. That's an amazing God. Our God is so gracious. He created us for himself. We failed him, every one of us. Our failure separates us from him. And yet he has bridged that gap through the terrible cost of the cross of Christ. And he has washed us clean by his own blood. And we cannot obey him on our own. We cannot on our own win against death and sin. We cannot succeed. But he has succeeded for us. We cannot win the battle. He has already won the battle for us. We cannot live as we ought. But he has made a way to live through us. What an amazing God we have. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. He is the rock. He is the builder. He is the builder of the house upon the rock. He is the house itself. Psalm 40, which is Psalm 41 and 2, which is also Don's life verse, actually. Shouldn't have said that. Says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He inclined to us and heard our cry before we even knew we needed him. Verse 2, he drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry clay, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Our Father desires to set your feet upon the rock of Christ. He desires to do the work. Do the work in you. You don't have to do it. We can't do it. But he can do it in you and through you. Christ is the way. He is the builder. Christ is the truth. He is the rock. And Christ is the life. So perhaps this morning you find yourself floundering, sinking. You know your life is set on sinking sand. Let him rescue you today. Psalm 40 says, he drew me out from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. You don't raise yourself out. You don't rescue yourself. We don't rescue ourselves. Praise God, we have a rescuer. Let him rescue you today. Perhaps today for you, life is grand. You're a success and you're on track for success. You got huge goals in front of you. But there's this nagging question. Why? What's it for? And you see and you feel the castle around you shift this way and that. And you know down deep that it could all come crashing down at any moment. Come to the rock. Let him build you a new house, not made with human hands and not set on shifting sand. Come to the rock. That rock is Christ. God has more for you, beloved. If you are struggling, if you are wondering, if you are feel like you're continually failing, he has more for you. He loves you. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because the burden is not on you. The burden has already been borne. Come to the rock. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the love that you have for us that is beyond our understanding. That while we were still sinners, you gave your life for us. You paid that price for us. And Lord, I know that you come to give us life and life abundant. And I pray, Father, that you teach us what that means. Help us to want more than the fool's gold that the world offers. Help us to want more than the world tells us we should desire. Teach us the vanity and frailty of those desires. And show us how much greater you are than anything we could possibly imagine. Become our first desire, Lord Jesus. Do your work in us. Live your life through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.